You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere on God's magnificent planet.
That's right. On 1510wwbc.com, you can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, there we also archive all the shows each and every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You'll find Viewpoint with Sita and Friends there and a downloadable MP3 that you can use on any one of your social medias or websites. And that's what we do, is that we download all of that information. We put it on all of our social medias, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and our website, which is SitaMediaInc.com. And last week was no different. We got 16,900 and something downloads last week.
It must be because I'm trying to pretend I'm a teenager on TikTok.
That could be. Yeah, it could be part of it for sure. For sure. But those TikTok videos are really good though. And Lake Washington Town Council that you were at, that also got a lot of great publicity as well. So congratulations.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think every day we wake up is a good day, right? And I like to think that we are on a vacation on planet Earth.
We are.
And it is really borrowed time. So we're not sure what tomorrow brings, but we know what today brings. And so I try to give the world my best in my very own way. You know, so I try. I mean, that day you're talking about, I went to work. I worked 8 hours. And then I came home and I went to the gym. And then I came back home and got dressed and met my neighbors by the roadside to hold up signs to talk about rezoning. And after that half an hour, I went and I did something else. And so, and then I guess I went to bed. But I woke up and here I am. But anyways, for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends for the first time, on Mondays, my co-host Ellen O'Neill, who's been with the show for over 15 and a half years, we sit here with Allie. Allie's a friend of the show that comes by to be our cheerleader and give us experience, lifestyle, and ideas at times. And Danny Whiting. But anyways, so we sit here on Mondays and we talk about things that are relevant to Brevard County, Florida, the state of Florida, and our world. We speak to people who want to talk about financial literacy, writing a book, the environment. Maybe people have a business and they want to come and talk about their business. You have a service. Ellen here has a band. Some people come to talk about music or entertainment. But whatever it is, we give folks a platform. Lots of nonprofits come on our show as well. And we talk to people because they want to make a difference. Their advocacy is making a difference. But we do it in a very responsible manner because we do know that freedom of speech comes with a responsibility to be nice. So I don't know if anybody saw a Facebook post this morning, but we have quite a wonderful lineup today. I invited my friend Stacy, who I met at the American Businesswomen's Association, to come by and hang with us today so she can see how the show is done in case she wants to book a segment later on. And our two guests today, we've got Jen Sizemore. I hope I'm saying it correctly. Is the Brevard County Democratic Executive Committee Chairperson. She's a U.S. Army veteran. She's a community leader and an experienced program manager. And I'm glad you work from home so you could come in today. Our second segment will be with our good friend Nikki Freed, who is an American lawyer, a lobbyist, and a politician. And she serves in the position of the Florida Democratic Party chair, and she'll be calling in the second segment. And so, you know, Jen, I'm glad you took the opportunity to run for the chair, and you are here in Brevard. But as I was preparing for the show this morning, a friend of mine called, and she said to make sure I ask you a lot of questions because people have, you know, ideas for Brevard. So talk to us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with the Brevard DEC. I almost said Broward because I just went to a big gala. I'm telling you, my mind is great today. I feel good. So yeah, tell us a little bit about the Brevard Democratic Party and how you got involved.
Sure. So I've been involved with the Brevard Dems for about 6 years now. Before that, I was one of those people that didn't do politics. And then I was busy raising my my daughter and, you know, paying attention to family. And then I looked up and I didn't like where we were going as a country and as a county. So I dipped my toe into working on a campaign, and then I got involved with the Brevard Democrats. And I did a lot of the behind the scenes stuff. I was the technology chair. I helped create the list of people that we would talk to. But I got to see into kind of how the local party worked and how it engaged with the state party and then the national level. And I realized that I had a lot to offer the party. And so when the position came up, I made a good decision today.
Yeah, you made a run for it.
Sometimes I question my decision, but I made the decision to put my name in for chair, and the membership elected me, and I've been in this position for about a year now.
Right. And, you know, for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, our show is very fun, it's very unscripted, it's quite interesting, very informative, and we give out valuable information on our show. So one of the things I wanted you to talk about, there are three ways of voting. Yes. We've got the absentee vote, we've got walk in person, mm-hmm. and then we also have the vote by mail.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's a big to-do right now. Everyone is concerned about voter registration, voter fraud, ID. And as an American citizen myself, I am concerned about that as well. But here's the thing. It's always been when you went to vote, you had your driver's license.
Right.
And if that wasn't good enough, people brought a passport or your birth certificate. I'm not sure where all of that came from, but I voted in every local, state, and federal election. And I have to say, dark-skinned Sita right here, I've never had a problem. I go in, I cast my vote, I research my candidates. I know what I want from life. I want everybody to be healthy, happy, have a full stomach when they go to bed at night. I want people to have jobs with benefits. I want people's children to have an education. And I also want to save my money. And I want to pay my fair share in taxes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean anybody's taking anything away from me, but I want people to enjoy their vacation on planet Earth just like I am. So talk to us about why there's all this discrepancies and people talking about voting in the three ways.
Yeah. So I will say that a lot of the recent changes to voter ID, vote by mail process is a solution looking for a problem. There's a narrative being created that people are voting and there's a lot of voter fraud, but that's not true. The research shows that over the last, you know, 30, 40 years, the instances of voter fraud and election fraud are very minor. So I'm not sure. Well, actually, I am sure. Your vote is one of the most powerful things that you have, and there are people that want to silence other people's votes, and so that's what is driving all of the changes. Here in Brevard, like you said, there are three ways to vote. You've got your vote by mail, which allows you to receive your mail ballot about 30 days in advance. You can either complete your mail ballot and return it by mail, Or if you prefer to vote in person, you can take your mail ballot with you when you go and vote in person, and you can surrender it and then vote there at the polls. I recommend everybody get a vote by mail request, because you get your ballot 30 days in advance, and then you have time to research the candidates. You know who's on your ballot. A lot of us are working, you know, multiple hours a day. We don't have time to focus. So the longer we have to do our research, the better informed we are when we go to the polls. So voting by mail is it's a very secure way of voting, and it provides the most accessibility, especially for people that are working multiple jobs, have kids in school, and can't take time off work to go vote. The second way is going to be early voting. So we have about a 10-day period leading up to the elections where you can early vote. There are 10 early voting locations across the county. You can go to any of those locations and vote. You can also take your completed mail ballot to any of those locations and drop them off.
And that's my pet peeve. When you have 10 days of early voting,
yeah,
and then you hear people say, oh, I did not have time to vote. It's like, dude, you had 10 days. Like, what are you doing that's so important that you can't just drive to the place and cast a ballot? If you know you didn't request a ballot by mail, or you're not going to walk into a facility and vote, and bring your ID. That's how it works, right? But 10 days of early voting, and the people, I must say, in Brevard, it's so easy to vote. What is causing people not to vote? Especially here in Brevard, in the primary. What causes such a low turnout?
I think there's a few different things. People are trying to survive. They aren't paying attention to a primary election that's coming up.
We're not engaged. Trying to survive. There are super voters like myself who works. Look, Ali's laughing.
No, I'm just picturing you going, super voter.
Yeah, I mean, we're all super voters. Yeah. We vote, right?
Yes.
Stacey, you vote too.
Yeah.
And I don't see what important it is of other person's lives that they can't cast a vote. And you know, Jen, I love the Democratic Party and I love people, but I also love my Republican friends. And I am one of those people that can listen to both sides and come up with my own ideas and my own solution to things. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is no one should say, I'm so busy that I can't vote. Yeah. It's an excuse.
It is an excuse. Yep.
But how, you know, somebody just put a long post on our Facebook post. A guy wants to know. He says, I'm not a Democrat, but I would love to know what exactly the Democratic Party principles are. So what are our principles?
Oh, boy. how much time do we have?
Yeah.
I think the bottom line is we want people to thrive. We believe everybody should have the opportunity to live, to raise families, to own a home, and have access to health care, you know, be able to survive on a full-time job versus working 2 and 3 and 4 jobs. And I'm not doing a very good job.
No, but you are, because he actually,
like, yeah,
he said, you know, it's centered around immigration reform, jobs and taxes. And he says, as a recently registered Republican, I like that we actually care about the immigration laws now, and that, you know, it's become a priority. And, you know, a lot of people say that, you know, to me, because they know I'm a registered Democrat, right? But the thing is, I guess what we want for ourselves, we want for other people. When you say, be thy brother's keeper in thoughts, words, and action, one should actually mean that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And no Democrat should be upset, or no American citizen should be upset when someone says, we want you to come to our country legally. And I think that, you know, I cannot go along with everything the party says. Mm-hmm. Neither can Republicans, right? Sure. So I guess that's what people are saying. Well, we say, you know, it's okay to let everybody come in. How do we combat that? Do you think it's messaging?
It's definitely messaging. It's definitely messaging. I think that it's also, we are letting other people tell our story versus telling our own story. And we spend so much time responding to what's being said about us versus telling who we are and what we stand for from our own perspective. One of the things that I've been saying to our candidates here this election cycle is we have to give people something to vote for, not just something to vote against. And so we need to be telling our own story. And we also want people to come to the country legally. But what we're seeing right now is the people that have come legally are being targeted. They're in the legal process and they show up for court like they have been, and they're being taken and detained when they're following the legal process.
Right, so, and it was always like that, where you would get a notice to show up at the courthouse at, say, 10 a.m. on August 10th. And you showed up, and you went in and saw the immigration officer, and they told you whatever you needed to bring, your documents, whatever.
Right.
So what you're saying is, the Democrats are saying, and other people, not just Democrats, is when people show up for these appointments, the ICE agents, really and truly, they shouldn't be nabbing them that way.
Correct.
It's wrong.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because you're following the law.
You're
in the country legally, and you're going to get your papers in order.
Right. Exactly. And you know, they say that they're targeting criminals, or they're, you know, immigrants are taking our resources and our jobs, and that's just not true.
Yeah. A high school dropout in the seventh grade it says that, you know, Mr. Mohammed with a medical degree took his job.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's really something.
That's not how
you know, or Mr. Ali or whoever, Mr. Smith. You see this on social media a lot, and people, they're taking our jobs. And then you say, well, what's your education level? Oh, I quit school in seventh grade. Well, yeah, well, then you really can't be a lawyer or a doctor or an engineer if you quit school in seventh grade, right?
They say they're taking our jobs, but then they also say they're not working. They're coming here and they're leeching off of our system. They're on, you know, they're getting food stamps and everything. So you can't have it both ways.
Yeah, but I think the Democratic Party has to do a better job of messaging that if you show up at a government office for social welfare, food stamps or Section 8 or Medicaid. It used to be in the past, people had to show proper documentation that you actually are a citizen or a resident.
Right.
Right. If people are here illegally and accessing that those funds that should go to American citizens, that is a problem.
Yeah.
And we have got to listen to each other. We've got to listen to the Republicans. We have to listen to the Democrats, because each side has a point. Do we want people to starve to death while they're in our country? No. So what is the answer, Jen? How do we message that properly to where we understand we're all human beings trying to function, but yet still we have a fine line between illegal, legal, resident, and a citizen?
Well, if I had the answer on how to message that, we would be doing a better job at this point. I think it all goes down to, like you said, listening to each other. We have to listen to each other. We're at a point now where we're talking past each other. We're not listening to the core message of I think we all want the same thing. We're just not able to communicate that with each other. I have conversations with Republicans all the time before they know who I am. And I say, you know, this is what I stand for. This is what I think. Here's the candidate that I'm voting for because this is what they believe in. And most of the time it's, oh, yeah, you know, I think that, too. I agree with that. And then they find out I'm a Democrat, and then they say, oh, I can't. Oh, you know, and they start backtracking. So it just goes back to taking a step back, communicating with each other, leading with kindness versus being defensive as soon as you start talking to people. And we have to stop letting the national conversation impact what we're doing here locally.
Right. And all things start locally. So let's talk about local politics. We've got a whole bunch of races coming up, school board, state reps, and we've got people who are running for office here, and they have a primary. So talk to us about the primary, the dates, and what can people do? I mean, and it shouldn't come down to if you're a Democrat or Republican. It shouldn't be that you're voting for a political party because you're affiliated. It should be that you're voting for the candidate who can make an impact with manufacturing jobs, trade, commerce, a quality education for all children, students. It should be that you care about healthcare and you encourage people to give back. Yeah. So how does one find out about the candidates and the dates?
Yes. So we have the primary election coming up on August 18th. August 18th is Election Day. The polls will be open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Florida has closed primaries, which means that if there is a partisan primary, so for governor, for Senate, you have to be registered with a party in order to vote for that party's candidate.
Yeah, say that louder for the people in the back of the room.
Yes. So you have to be registered with the party to vote in the partisan primaries. So governor, Senate, if you want to vote for David Jolly or Angie Nixon or Alex Vindman, you have to be a registered Democrat to vote for those individuals. Likewise on the Republican side. However, there are a lot of nonpartisan races that are on
the
ballot.
Like the judges,
yep,
right?
That are on the ballot in August. So the judicial candidates will be chosen in August.
And the school board.
The school board candidates can be chosen in August, but everybody in the county can vote for the school board, can vote for the judges. So people don't understand that it can, these races can be won in August, and so they don't show up. And so we see voter turnout at, you know, 30-32%, and that's just not enough people showing up to vote in the primaries. The primaries are so important. There's also a city council election in Titusville that will be decided in August, and then also down in Palm Bay. So people need to show up in order to make their vote heard. School board is so important. We have 3 seats available for school board, District 1, District 2, and District 5. And I have to say we have great Democratic candidates in those seats. It's really important that if you don't like the direction that the school board has been going over the past 4 years, that you show up and you vote if you're able to in one of those districts in August so that we can bring some sanity back to the school board. The focus can be back on the students and the teachers and the classrooms, and less on culture wars. So again, it's just so important that people either show up on August 18th, vote by mail leading up to August 18th, or early vote for the 10 days.
Yeah, I like how you got those 3 in there. And so what I know, like, I'm not going to lie, with my dark skin, I ain't knocking on nobody door. Sorry. Yeah. I don't want nobody pulling a gun on me. I mean, that's just how it is. It used to be we were able to walk an entire neighborhood, mm-hmm. knock on the door, somebody opened the door, you talk to them about your candidate, their platform, yeah. their ideas, their issues. But a lot of folks just don't want to do that anymore. Yeah. What other outreach are we doing here in Brevard to encourage people to get out of their comfort zone? Because, you know, what makes me so sad is the same people that benefit from the advocacy that other people do. You fight for women's rights. You fight for clean water. You fight for quality education for all students. You fight for people's health insurance. You try to get people, an affordable wage. You try to get them stabilized rent. And those same people don't come out of their comfort zone to vote for the candidates who are helping them. What can we do to get them out? I mean, it's such an important thing.
Yeah, we're focusing on voter education. So we are still knocking on doors. Right now, through the election, instead of knocking on doors and having conversations, we're just leaving our door hanger and our voter guide. So at the very least, they see who we're recommending. They can scan the QR code and find out more about the candidates. We're also making phone calls. So we're not wasting our time trying to get into gated communities, we're calling in, leaving messages, again, informing the voters. We're sending text messages.
Yes,
we're sending text messages, not the ones that say, hey, give us money. We're sending text messages that say, hey, don't forget to vote. On Saturday, we'll be sending text messages to everybody that has a mail ballot coming in saying, hey, your mail ballot should be in the mail this weekend. Make sure you return it right away. That way, you know, they're not setting it down and forgetting about it. We're using social media. We're trying to get our young people more active because I'm not going to be on TikTok, but hopefully they will.
Yeah.
So we're trying to come at people from all angles. And then we're also out in the community. You'll see us at festivals, at community events. We're at the churches doing voter registration. So any way that we can meet voters where they are and educate them is where you can find us.
Well, you know, most leaders, effective leaders, they embrace change, mm-hmm. right? And we're all watching our country is changing. The demographics is changing.
Yeah.
You've got so many young people under 30 now whose ideas for this country is taking a different direction. A lot of people are against the war. A lot of them do want democratic socialism. A lot of them do want health care, like Stacey was saying, a single-payer system maybe. Talk to the people out there who are very concerned about the United States taking a direction of communism, socialism. I mean, a lot of us know that there were always social programs in this country, like the VA, the roads, the postal service, education, hospitalization, housing developments, the military. Those are social programs.
Yeah.
Medicaid. Where is the messaging to say to people, no, we're not going that direction, but?
I think it's again with the labels. We're letting other people put labels on what we're doing. So they say communism is bad and democratic socialism is bad. But if you dig into what those actually are and what are the principles that our country was founded on and the things that make our country work, you'll see that you actually do believe in some of those things. And you just got to stop paying attention to the ugly label that people are putting on it. I think it goes back to communication, being able to effectively communicate what it is that you are working for, what it is that you're asking for, taking a look at what the candidates have to offer, not what they say they have to offer, but what they've either voted for in the past or what they've proven they want to do. So digging in and just not listening to what everybody else is saying about it, doing your own research and finding out for yourself. And then also not letting any party tell you what you should be voting for. You should be voting based on your own beliefs and what you want, not what your party is telling you to vote for. One of the things I'm doing is I'm not telling people who to vote for, but I'm bringing candidates in to talk to the people so that they can hear from the candidates themselves. They can ask their own questions and they can make their own decisions on who it is that they want to vote for. And hopefully they feel more empowered and more educated to make a good decision.
Yeah, well, you know, when you talk to people like the lay person out there, they'll say, oh, yeah, the Democrats, it's a party that gives away free stuff. And the Republicans are the party that saves and open businesses and regulate, and they don't like regulation. It's like the labels are there.
Yep.
And it's like nobody says to them, well, no, I am a moderate Democrat. I lean a little bit right sometime and a little bit left. And I do believe that every able-bodied human being should work.
Mm-hmm.
I see no reason if you have two arms, two legs, you live in the greatest nation on earth, the United States of America, that you shouldn't be working.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you work and you need assistance with daycare, we'll fight for you.
Mm-hmm.
You need Medicaid expanded? We'll fight for it. You need clean air, water, sunshine? You want education? We'll help you. But to stay home, when you darn well know that Section 8 and food stamps and all these things were created as a stepping stone.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't created for you to live on it forever, and then your children are on it too. It's wrong. How do we combat that? Because that's what I hear all the time.
That's what that's the story that people are telling you or is happening, I would encourage you to actually talk to those people and say, there's a story, the welfare queen, right? That story was created many, many years ago, that there's a woman that just sits at home and has a bunch of kids and just, you know, takes from the government, takes and takes and takes. But I think that you'll find that people are using those resources as a stepping stone, or at least trying to. But also what you find is once you start using that support, the parameters that are in place for you to, you know, to better yourself and get off of them, they make it more difficult to then get off of those resources and be successful. So if you make $10 more than the threshold, they take away all of your access. And so you find yourself back where you started.
And the they is?
Yeah, the government. It's the rules and regulation that come along with it. And I'm not saying that those rules and regulations shouldn't be in place. They absolutely do, so that people aren't taking advantage of the system. But they need to be reevaluated for our current environment and what's actually happening. And the fact that the cost of living has risen so much and people can't, even people working a full-time job can't afford to live. So where you said that every able-bodied person should be working, I agree. But I also think that those people that are working should be making a living wage. And I don't think that people should have to work 2 and 3 and 4 jobs in order to provide for their basic needs. And that is my opinion as Jen, the opinion of the Democratic Party.
That's the voice of Jen Sizemore, Brevard County Democratic Chair. And you know, the thing is, because I speak to a lot of people, I've spoken with a lot of nursing assistants who make $15 an hour, and they show up.
Yeah.
Yesterday in our parking lot, I have to tell you, you know, you see nurses' aides coming out, nurses coming out, support staff coming out, and then you see people going in. People are making, you know, $15, $20, $30, whatever they're making. But they're there. They're showing up.
Yeah.
If they need assistance with daycare, they get it. We drive on the nation's roads. We get health care. Mm-hmm. Some people have children. They get Medicaid. My whole thing is, after a while, we have to have transparency and accountability.
Yeah.
And those same people will tell me, nurse, I know so-and-so who's on food stamps and on section, and they've been on it for 5 years.
Yeah.
And then I think about the immigrant that comes here and is working for $15 an hour, and his wife is working for 10, cleaning a house or whatever, and they're not on Section 8 of food stamp, but they get the bad name.
Yeah, and they don't even
right.
qualify for
and
it.
And so it's a bit of a thing where I think we all have to start messaging that, dude, you live in the greatest country in the world, and if a person not speaking English from India could come here and open a gas station and have his children in the back of the gas station at 5 a.m. while he's selling gas and merchandise. Yeah. And then his wife takes those kids to the same public school that your kids can go to. Then that wife comes back and works in that gas station. And at 2 o'clock, she goes back and picks those children up. And those two kids are doctors today. Something is wrong.
Yeah.
And I think the foundation for everything starts in the community and at home.
Agreed.
And I do feel like our party, the Democratic Party, we do make excuses for people. What do you say to people who say you all make a lot of excuses for people? Because this is what I hear, and I'm just letting you know.
Yeah.
This is why a lot of people have switched from the Democratic Party to either Republican or Independent.
Yeah, and I suppose we can make excuses for people because we want to give them the benefit of the doubt. And we want to provide them with the support that they need. So just a little bit of my story. I grew up very, very poor. My mom was a perpetual victim. She was always on government assistance. She never wanted to work. She was an alcoholic.
You broke it.
And I grew up that way. I went to 13 different elementary schools because we moved so often, because she didn't pay bills. So I knew from an early age that that's not the type of adult that I wanted to be. And I didn't know that college was an option when I was in school because I was one of those kids that the counselors didn't talk to because I had no future, right? And so in order to break that cycle, I chose to join the military so that I could, you know, move away. And that helped me set myself up for success. And so when I look back at that time and the other, like my best friend still lives there and she has five kids and, you know, she's the statistic. And so the way that I look at it is, how do we provide resources to those people to so that they know that there's another path out of
poverty,
that life,
to
out
break
of
the generational
yeah.
curse.
And how do we make it more accessible? Because if I had not joined the military, which is not for everybody, who knows where I would be right now? But that was my path out. We have to provide paths out of those situations. We have to provide resources. We need to be in the community, in the schools, letting people know that there's another way.
Again, this is the greatest nation on earth.
Yeah.
There are so many resources available in this country, so much more than any other country in the world, you know. But anyways, I guess we'll take a quick break.
So many great questions, though, and that's what we need to do is make sure that we're always asking those great questions. Yeah. So go to your city councils, go to your Democratic Party conventions and so forth. Learn about your candidates. Learn about the people that you want to see.
I guess we're going to have to skip our ads today, Danny, because Nikki Fried is going to join our conversation. She is our second segment person today. And the conversation is flowing so well, and I know Nikki is taking the time. She's so busy. Nikki Fried is the chair of the Florida Democratic Party. And Nikki, I can't say enough about you and all that you're doing for the party. And I swear, if you quit this party, I'm changing parties. I'm going to go independent.
I appreciate that. Neither of us need to do that.
No, I'm just. It's just that I think you've done such a wonderful thing, but. But can you hold on 1 second? Ellen has to run a quick ad for someone that came on our show last week, and we promised her we would run a quick ad for her. It'll take like 20 seconds. Hold on 1 second.
It's our newest sponsor, New Life Mission. Their Opening Doors for Women is a New Life Mission signature fall fundraising event. And this year, we're opening the door to an all-new experience. With a new venue, a fresh format, and powerful stories of transformation, it'll be an evening unlike any other that they've hosted before. It's going to be Thursday, October 8th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Space Coast Health Foundation at the Center for Collaboration, which is 1100 Rockledge Boulevard in Rockledge, Florida. You have the power to open doors. Attendance and sponsorship are vital in making this event and their mission possible. Please check out newlife-mission.org. Opening Doors for Women. That event, again, is Thursday, October 8th, 2026.
Okay. To Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We are going right back to Nikki Fried. She is our second segment guest, and she's an American lawyer, a lobbyist, and a politician. Nikki, take it away. Tell us a little bit about, bring us up to speed about the three top things that Democrats should be talking about right now.
First of all, thanks for having me on, always giving me an opportunity to come on and speak with your viewing audiences, listening audiences. You know, look, we all hear it. You know, I don't care where you go. You go to the food store, you go to the nail salon, you go to the barber shop, you are picking up your kids from school, you're in the line at the pharmacy. No matter who you are, no matter where you are in our state and our nation, you're having a really difficult time right now. You're making really tough decisions on family budgets of, were you able to go for a weekend away during the summer? Can you pay for your grocery bills and your prescription medication? Can you afford your rent or your utilities bill? These are real conversations that are happening across our state and our nation. And it is Florida Democrats and Democrats across the nation that are listening to the stories, that are hearing the heartbreaks, that are trying to provide hope and opportunities for families and for our workers across our nation. And it is Democrats that are going to come up with the solutions here in Florida. We have been out of real power for 30 years. We haven't had the governor's mansion since 1994. And only three of us have been statewide here for the last 30 years. And we've been now in a super minority for the last two cycles. And policies keep going away from the people, making it much more difficult. You're seeing the corruption. You're seeing the chaos that comes from D.C. and Tallahassee. And Democrats are standing up in this moment. We are working the ground, knocking on doors, making phone calls, listening to the voters, and showing them, give us a shot this time. Give us a shot and let us prove to you that we are going to fight for you every single day, whether it is in City Hall or the halls of our Capitol. This is our moment. We've got incredible candidates. Check them out. Go to floridadems.org. Check them out. Be part of this movement that we are creating in our state. And we're doing year-round organizing. That is making the difference. We have flipped over 33 seats since beginning part of last year in all parts of our state, from Miami up to Escambia County and everything in between. That's not because of luck. That is because of hard work. That's because of grit, because we're showing up and we're being genuine about the problems and the solutions.
Yeah. Well, you know, Nikki, I was just telling Jen Sizemore is here, and she is the chair of the Florida, yes, the Brevard Democratic Party here. And we were talking. I told her, you know, when I told some people that I was having my Democratic friends on the show today, you know, people have this messaging about us, these ideas that we, the Democrats, give away everything for free. And now you're hearing, and Republicans are so caring about jobs and trade and commerce and all that. And then you hear people talking about democratic socialism, and we're socialists and communists. So talk to us. How does our party message this properly? And I did not even play any ads today because I want to give you and Jen the time, because I understand how important this is, not just for me, but for our party. Because as you know, we've always had social programs in this country, for schools and hospital and the roads and the military and the VA and Medicaid expansion, law enforcement. We've always had people that contributed taxes to pay for these programs. So how can our party message this to say to people, hey, this is who we are?
Yeah. You know, I think that it goes back to, you have to take a step back and figure out what is happening in America. You know, what's happening in America, that you're sitting and watching the billionaire class get more B's next to their name, that are buying more private planes, that are getting more insider information for trades and for stocks, that are making billions upon billions of dollars off of decisions that are happening out of the White House, and are making millions of dollars of what's happening out of Tallahassee. At the same time, people are struggling. Again, going back to what I was saying, is people are truly struggling in this moment. And so there is an extreme amount of frustration from the American people. They are having a hard time with healthcare, with keeping the lights on in their small businesses. They're having a hard time figuring out where is the best nursing home or a rehab center for their ailing parents as the older generation is getting more sick, and as they're getting older, the boomer generation. And you're hearing from mothers whose college kids are coming home and sleeping in the basements and on the couches because they can't find good paying jobs. Or you're finding, you know, just single mothers working two jobs and doesn't now have after school programming for their kids because the Republicans have cut after school programming. These are real issues and real problems that are happening. And you're seeing this populist economic on both sides of the aisle, Democrats and Republicans. Unless you are a top 1% of our nation, you are feeling this moment. And I think that it is a time for Americans to come together and say, how do we find solutions? And that's why there's right now an anti-establishment, anti-incumbent sentiment, because people are struggling and they want their elected officials to stop playing partisan politics, to go and do their jobs, to come home and to deliver real results for their constituents. And right. I think that Democrats right now are having this moment of saying, you're right. Here are our candidates who are showing up and are producing results and are having strategy ideas of how to make life more affordable for your family.
Right. And it used to be, right, that as human beings, when you wake up in the morning, if you have a full refrigerator of food, you wanted your neighbor to have food. If you had health care, you wanted your neighbor to have health care. If your children went to a school and they're learning arithmetic and math and all that, you wanted the other people's children to have that. Where have we lost that humanity for each other? You know, I'm Hindu, but I used to go to Christian churches and Christian schools, and I learned that we have to be our brother's keepers in thoughts, words, and actions, right? But okay. Right now we have people, you know, the top, you know, people say, well, the top 1%, let's say the top 10% even, they make money off of the backs of small people, right? Either you get wealth by your family, generational wealth, or you have a business and other people work for you. the first person to open some of those businesses are maybe the executive director of that company. The last person to leave is the janitor. But both of them have bills to pay. The janitor has to pay rent, so does the other guy. They need health care, they need food, they need water, they need shelter. Where have we lost that humanity in us? That each side, Republican and Democrats, they fight over these things when it's about people. It's about American citizens.
Look, you know, the problem that we have, and this is not just new here in America. This is as old as time, that when something is happening and something is going wrong, you want scapegoats. And you want to blame somebody for why things are happening and why things are going wrong. And unfortunately, you know, talking about the billionaire class, or as your point, you know, the top 10% class, this some of that economic irresponsibility started with this notion of trickle-down economics. You know, I got taught that every single day in my household. As you know, my dad is a diehard Republican, so I got taught Reagan economics from before I knew my mathematician figures. But it didn't work. Because it was supposed to be that you know, as to your point, you make all this money at the top and you're supposed to pay your employees a living wage and provide them health care and provide them, you know, paternity and maternity leave and sick leave and be flexible for after school, you know, for families, and to make sure that, in fact, that there was more people employed. That didn't happen. The money has stayed at the top. The money has stayed at the top, which now they're owning the media outlets. And there was an incredible story that came out. It was back-to-back last week. I couldn't believe that it was so back-to-back that you saw, in one respect, you saw the Republican Party of Florida giving no-bid contracts to AI surveillance companies for law enforcement. And in the same breath, two stories down, it talks about how Cuba has used their surveillance to keep the regime in power. And so some of these things are happening right under our nose. And the problem has been that you're right. People stopped caring about each other because we've been told to care for ourselves. No one's going to take care of you besides you. And unfortunately, what I think happened and during 2015, 2016, and there's been plenty of reports about this, is that, and not to go totally partisan, but Trump made people angry. Blame those people. Blame those people. Why you can't get a good paying job, it's the immigrants. Why you can't get a good paying job, it's because the Democrats. You can't get this business because the Democrats did this, and the Democrats did that, and the Democrats did that, and that elected official did that. And so you started seeing an entire generation of Americans.
Well, it's
who
hate,
started to
right?
Blame.
It's almost like we've become so divided, and some people are so hateful, and we see such racism and bigotry, and it's so uncalled for, because at the end of the day, the same immigrant that's trying to come into this country would probably be the immigrant that's going to end up cleaning an incontinent grandpa or grandma or an aunt or an uncle or a nurse or a doctor. And you know, I hear it all the time that Democrats want to let everybody in. I'm a Democrat, and I care about legal immigration. I don't want everybody coming in illegally without having them checked for communicable diseases or their background to make sure they're not a criminal. I don't want that. So where did a narrative start that Democrats want everybody to come in and just take over? I mean, how do you, Nikki Fried, and myself and Jen Sensma, how do we message against that? Because every Democrat I know wants good for this country and good things for people.
I think that's part of the problem right now, is that the misinformation across the social media networks, as I was just alluding to, the buying of media channels, so you're only getting one perspective and not the totality of the conversation. I too, Sita, I talk to Democrats all day long, all across our state, all across the nation. I don't know a single Democrat, elected or otherwise, that wants open borders. Not one.
Yeah.
Not one.
And here's the other thing. How do we heal our party, right? I was talking to a guy at the gym, and he's like, I'm a moderate Hillary Clinton, Obama Democrat, and I see the Mamdani Democrats taking over. So ask her when she calls in, how do we heal? How do we bring people together? Because the progressive wing of the party and the moderate wing of the party, they're having this head button contest, right? But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, everybody wants American citizens to do well. We want jobs. We want proper health care. We want a great community school for our kids. We want the elderly taken care of. And we want jobs. And don't tell us that you don't like regulations, because for every regulation, something bad happened. So talk to the moderate Dems and the progressive Dems how to get together and understand that we are one. We united, we stand strong, and divided, we fall hard.
Yeah. I think that is a very hard thing to do, right? You know, that we are inherently a big tent party, which in theory means that everybody has an equal say underneath the tent. And sometimes that tent, sometimes a little smaller, depending on who's in power. And sometimes that tent is very big. But the problem is that anybody underneath the tent has to respect each other. And I'm finding a lot of that missing even inside the party, that if you don't agree with somebody, that we have these huge purity tests inside the party, that if you don't agree with me 110%, then you're a bad Democrat. That rhetoric has to stop. There is no excuse for coming after each other on if we disagree on one policy, whether it's healthcare, education, foreign policy, domestic policies, whatever that is. But it's about getting people to the table to come up with solutions to problems. And if we're constantly, you know, trying to kick people out of the tent because they don't agree with you 100%, then the tent gets smaller. And you can't win elections. And if you can't win elections, you can't get people at the table to come up with progress. I'm not saying progressive, progress on issues that we all care about, making housing more affordable, making healthcare more accessible, making sure that everybody's got a good quality education, making sure that all of our children are coming home safe from school, that our crime rates are down, that we're in, you know, all of these things happen because people come together and find solutions to problems. But if we're bickering about the purity of the members of our party, then we've already lost the game.
That's right.
And people are hurt.
And we see where Democrats want to fall in love, Republicans fall in line. And, you know, the sad thing is, you know, we have so many people in our party that if you say something that you disagree with, right away they tell you, why don't you just switch your party? It shouldn't be like that. If I want to say that I believe every able-bodied man and woman should work, and after a few months of getting assistance, you should try to find a job, I am not saying anything that the Republicans are not saying or other people. So people would look at me and say, oh, you're not really a Democrat. No, that's how I feel.
Right. And you shouldn't be trapped. I mean, we've seen it before. We've had some candidates that, because, you know, Sita, our state is so diverse, and it is beautiful how diverse our state is. From all walks of life, from all parts of the world, have come here to make Florida home. And the fabric of our nation is on is the people that have come here to our country, and to disrespect some of that is also not how we move the ball forward. It's having these hard conversations. It's listening to one another. It is making a better union when we have those difficult conversations. And to yell at one person who may not feel 100% because of their background, the thing is that we had candidates that come from, again, different backgrounds that may come from a more conservative country that, let's just use abortion, you know, may be deemed a, you know, from the whole entire country perspective, it's not political parties, but the country has it banned or, you know, feels one way, and somebody has moved here to our state and has a Democrat and every other, you know, issue, but has a different feeling about abortion access.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that they're a bad Democrat. It just means they're coming from a different place and have a different philosophy on this.
Absolutely. And, you know, like I have that same philosophy where, you know, I would say I don't believe in abortion for my children, my friends and family circle, my close relatives. But for another woman, I don't know how her pot is boiling, according to how my mother used to say it. Leave people alone. Let them make the decisions. Another thing is, I like David Jolly. I've always liked him. But a lot of people have been saying, well, he was a Republican before he became a Democrat. But here's the thing. Information, in this information age we live in, we give out valuable information, and then it's up to that person if they want to remain a Democrat, switch to a Republican, become an independent, because they had the information. Mr. Jolly decided that his principles and his issues align more with being a Democrat. So why can't people accept it? Why do they have to fight and talk nonsense? Oh, he was a Republican before. So what? So what?
I think that in this moment in American history, we just celebrated 250 years, that there has to be a conversation in this country is what does the next 250 look like? Who are our leaders? What do we value from our leaders? Is it they're just getting themselves elected because they've got the most money in the bank account for the campaigns and then they're going to Washington, D.C. or Tallahassee? Or are we going to actually hold them accountable for being decent human beings? And we may not agree on every issue, but I would rather somebody who disagrees with me on some of my issues that I care about, that I trust, that I can have a conversation. We may agree to disagree, but I at least know where that person's heart is. And I think in this moment that we've got to be looking past party labels sometimes and say, what is in that person's heart? What do I believe that they will accomplish once in office? I always have said this, that somebody, when they go to the ballot box, that and they're voting for somebody, they're giving them their proxy. They believe that the person they are voting for is going to have their best interest when doors are closed, cameras are off, and no one is watching. And that is the question that needs to happen right now. Can people trust your elected officials? Can they trust the candidates to protect them in times of need? And I think that regardless of where people have been in the past and where they are on issues today, you got to look into somebody's heart and their soul. Are they going to be somebody who's going to fight for me today?
Right. And, you know, thank you for all your advocacy on Alligator Alcatraz, because I've always said all that money they spent in Alligator Alcatraz, they could have converted every septic tank in Brevard to sewer and give us a break here with that. Because a lot of these houses, big mansions, have these septic tanks and people would prefer to have sewer. But anyways, so talk to us a little bit about that. Is it closed? And thank you for your advocacy on it.
Yeah, it is closed, and that was done. But to your point, this was a disaster from day one. You know, not only is this a detention center with inhumane conditions, water, food, access to attorneys, access to phones, general living conditions on sacred land of the Everglades. There's not one thing that unites every single Floridian besides protecting the Everglades. And then on top of it, was the $1 billion that was spent on no-bid contracts. So what does that mean for people who are listening to hear no-bid contracts? That means that there's a pot of dollars that under every other government procurement purchasing contract, they go out to bid. And people come in and they bid, and the government's job is to be efficient and effective. But if you don't have multiple bids, your point is not to be efficient and effective and to make other people wealthy, then you give out no-bid contracts. And so most of the money that was handed out, that is our taxpayer dollars, went to no bid contract Republican donors. And so now they get to use those dollars and fund back the Republican campaigns, which is what consistently happens. And so not only that, but we've also seen great reporting down by Jim DeFede down in Miami that showed that the cost associated with building Alligator Alcatraz was something like 26% higher than that of other detention centers across the rest of the country.
Well, somebody made a lot of money. Well, Nikki, we have like a minute left. So give us your 30-second elevator speech for everyone who is listening, why they should pay attention to voting in the primary, voting in election by mail, by person, by absentee. Just give us that 30 seconds because Nikki Fried, chair of the Florida Democratic Party, thank you for being my friend and calling in. Go ahead, take 30 seconds.
Of course. We have 30 seconds. We got 30 years of one-party control of the state, and it has made us one of the most unaffordable states in the nation. It is time to get new leadership into Tallahassee and representing our state in Washington, D.C. It is important that we have an engaged electorate. Go to floridadems.org. Find out where polling locations are, that you're registered to vote, that you got your vote-by-mail ballot already reenlisted. This is the moment where we need everyday Floridians. I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, or independent. This is your state, and it's time to go fight for it together.
Thank you. And Jen Sizemore, give us the website for the Brevard County Dems.
Yes, so you can find us at www.brevarddems.org.
Well, another fantastic episode of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in and joining us here each and every Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on 1510 WWBC.
Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned
located in Titusville, Florida.
John Dixie Croft Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered...